Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Thank you guys for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I am so excited. I have Renee with me. And Renee is the founder of We Wild Women, and she is an amazing PR expert. And I met Renee because me and my friend stalked her, essentially. We found her on Instagram. We had heard about her at a mastermind we were at. And we were like, we want to reach out to Renee. We want to have a VIP weekend with Renee and have her come and pour into us and share all of her knowledge with us. And I thought it would be perfect if she joined us and shared with our listeners everything she knows about PR. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. And there's no pressure to give you my 13 years of PR experience in 20 minutes.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Just talk nonstop, please.
Well, I will say this, meeting you and the crew, so Kinsey and Callan, was such a treat. So I don't know if the listeners know, but
they don't know. You give them your perspective of what happened.
Yeah, so it was Callan that was asking about some PR stuff. And it was, she had reached out and her and I had a call. And she's like, yeah. And then she talked to you guys, I guess. And then we all got on a call because the idea was that you'd fly me to Florida and I would teach the three of you the tricks and the secrets of PR. And I was like, yeah, sure. Admittedly, I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'll show up anyways. I'll have new friends.
Yeah. You're like, I might get murdered. I have no idea where I'm going or who these women are.
Really dangerous. Yeah. You look deadly. But as soon as Kinsey opened the door, I was like, wow, you guys are friends. Like, it was the strangest thing coming up those stairs into the kitchen to meet you and Callan for the first time, because it's like, I'd already been there. I'd already connected with you guys. It was the strangest thing.
Yeah.
And so it was just so easy to just plunk my laptop down at the kitchen counter and look you guys in the eye and be like, what do you guys want to talk about? I could do a formal presentation or we can just dive deep. And you're like, let's just go to work.
Yeah. And let's pop some champagne while we do it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we were really good at that.
We had a ton of fun. But we also all came out with such a unique strategy because we all are consultants and we have different niches and people that we serve. But that's what was so cool for me, because I was like, I definitely had a unique target market compared to them. And I was like, if Renee can talk about all three different niches and have applicable information for us, she definitely can provide applicable info for people that have brick and mortars. So what would you say the top three things are that brick and mortars need in place to really start to implement a PR strategy?
Yeah. So there has to be somebody on the team. Notably would be the founder or somebody that is a partner to be the spokesperson for the company. And this is like the default go-to person. I'm going to use my sister as an example. So my sister, Michelle, has a pediatric physiotherapy clinic in Ottawa, Canada. And she's like the de facto spokesperson for her company. And I taught her everything I know. And now she's the person that's become the go-to person on their local television station to talk about pediatric care for sports and all this stuff. And so the number one thing is to have a spokesperson. And this is somebody who is confident, articulate. And the best way to do that, if you haven't already conquered that articulation and confidence, is to actually go on people's podcast. Because the more you can talk about your story and practice talking, the easier it gets. Because right now, while this is audio, you're also recording video. So there's part of this, like, it feels like a TV show.
Totally. Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more confident you get at it. So the second thing too is when you're looking at brick and mortar clinics, regardless of what it is, chiropractic, physiotherapy, is you tend to do the same thing, right? It's like you go to the chiropractor because you need an adjustment, something's off and you want to feel better. It could be acute or chronic, doesn't matter. But to be known for one thing. So for my sister, for instance, she's really into helping kids with like, not necessarily birth defects, but like childhood developmental issues. Mm-hmm. So how physiotherapy can actually help with kids that have incontinence. I didn't know this growing up as a mother. And so she specializes in that stuff while she offers so many other things in her clinic. Now she's the go-to person for this. So you think about what are like the two or three things that you can really talk about that can become the go-to for your clinic. So whether you're helping with elderly care because you're close to a lot of retirement homes, or it's with athletes because you live in a city where there's a ton of professional athletes, whatever it is, find your niche or niche, however you want to say it. And that becomes not only who you're serving, but also the story that you're telling. And that becomes your expertise. So now we have spokesperson and then your two to three topics. Ideally, those topics come down to one.
Yes.
And the third thing to prepare to do PR, to understand that it's an engine, it's a marathon. It is not a sprint, meaning that you might start pitching and you'll hear nothing for a couple weeks, maybe even months, worst case scenario, but it's to continue showing up and pitching yourself or having somebody in your team do the pitching for you. But it is all about consistency. So I always say, hey, if you can get 5 to 10 pitches in a week, that's awesome. You will be ahead of the competition no matter what. And you might be in a small town. You might be in a small town where there literally is no competition.
Right. That's amazing. Be the only one pitching.
Right. But here's the thing is you think about, here's the question that I ask all people that have brick and mortar. It's like, what is the longest distance that you know someone would be willing to drive to be a customer of yours? Is it 100 miles? Whatever it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So make that circumference on a map around your clinic and then hire someone on your team or go to Upwork and have somebody pull all of the media sources for like local media within that 100-mile circumference. And that becomes your media list. This could be like quarterly publications. It could be local mommy blogs, whatever it is. You stress that media list in that 100-mile circumference. And then that becomes the people that you're connecting with, networking with, or pitching. And so the idea with being maybe the only brick and mortar or chiropractic clinic, whatever clinic in your town, it's also important that you're getting those customers to come back. So most people don't need to be educated. They need to be reminded. So they need to be reminded that you exist. They need to be reminded that your clinic does X, Y, and Z, and that they should be coming back on a monthly basis. Yes. And so if you're always in their face in a nice way, then they'll be reminded, oh yes, that's right. I have to book my appointment because, you know, I'm starting to not feel good again, or I understand this helps with maintenance, or maybe there's some acute issues that need to be dealt with. And so PR is important for many things. One big thing is to establish that authority and the credibility in the space. If you have a lot of competition or not, it doesn't matter. You should still be out there following the system and then getting the media coverage.
Yeah, I love that. And even you just mentioning like consistency is key. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I try to get my clients to understand when they're doing any kind of marketing or self-promotion is it's like, you can't try one thing one time, but also you can't try three things one time. It is an engine that, you know, just like you referred to, it is truly an engine. It's meant to have multiple things that are working together. It's a roadmap. It's tried and true systems in place. It's not just, I'm going to throw one post on social. I'm going to reach out to this one news station. And if they don't answer, then it's a dead end road. One of my favorite reels that you did was of you showing yourself like constantly trying to come up with a new pitch idea, right? And you were like sitting at your table, you're like, oh, they didn't like this one. Oh, they didn't like that one. And that for me, honestly, even with all your experience, that for me was such a reminder and like an eye opener that even though you're an expert at pitching and getting PR for all of your clients, it doesn't mean that people just say yes to you the first time you send an email either.
No. And I think having the expertise now, I'm also jaded by the no's and jaded by the rejection. But here's the reality is I've created this program called the Authority Booster Intensive. And I actually have a like 20% money back guarantee. I think it's 20%. That if you do everything I say as outlined in this program that I've customized for you for 90 days and you don't get X amount of wins, then I'll give you some of your money back. Because nice. I know that the system works so well for anybody that's ready to do this for their business, they just can't fail.
Yeah.
But part of the process is an understanding that, hey, you might have the best thing for this audience, or you might be the best expert for this particular publication. But if you're not positioning yourself well, if you're not actually telling your story in a way that lands right, they won't care. Because journalists, they don't have time to do all the digging if they don't know who you are. And there's a lot of work that goes into setting up that the pitch and the messaging and the cadence of like following up and when to follow up and what to follow up with.
Yeah. And you are great at figuring out like that little, you know, it's kind of like anything. You're doing research. If you want to have a relationship with somebody in business and you're trying to either develop a collaboration or a referral partnership or anything like that, you have to do research on them. And kind of from what I understand, PR is very similar. If you're reaching out to that person, the more personal stuff you can pull in to be like, hey, this is why you should connect with this local chiropractor or this local dentist, because they also have experience with running triathlons and we know you're super passionate about that. They can speak on multiple things. Me getting to see your strategy when you were pulling in some of that stuff for your clients was super eye-opening to me, because I was like, oh, wow, she's just not going in being like, hey, look how cool my client is. Look at this book she wrote, or look at this dog treat company that they create all these cool organic dog treats. You were going in and you were being like, hey, Joe, I know that you do this, this, and this. And for some people, I think that they take the personalization out of their outreach, but I think that that's also something that is really going to help you get closer to where you want to be.
Yeah. So the worst thing you can do in PR is have a beautiful media list and cut and paste every email into a BCC and send out one generic email to everybody. Maybe there was a time that that worked. I mean, we used to send pitches over fax machine.
Right.
Now, with the onset of AI and all of these tools that allow you to do things faster with more consistency, people are starting to sniff out the things that just look like sped up, the things that just look lazy. And so whenever I'm employing somebody to do the pitching or teaching people how to do it, it's the one thing I say is don't be lazy. It's like, it makes sense for you to do 5 solid pitches a week that take you a little bit to set up than to do 20 crappy ones.
Totally.
Because you risk tarnishing your relationship. You risk getting your email blacklisted. You risk people being like, don't ever reach out to me again. And so you have to show the people on the other end that you're respecting their time and that you're the right fit. They got to sell yourself a little bit.
What would you say for my listeners who have probably never done any PR unless they're like reaching out to a local organization to get involved, but truly like trying to get on a podcast or a news feature or something in their local community? Where do they even begin? Where do they even like find these people to reach out to?
Yeah, well, going back to the 100-mile circumference is a perfect thing. And you could, Google has the answers to everything. You can go and you can just search, like, say you're in small town Kentucky. It's like, you know, what are the top publications in this area, this state, this county? And it'll pull up lists.
And then it's like, just a matter of finding emails, right? To get to certain people.
Finding contact. I mean, even Instagram and TikTok are wicked search tools.
Yeah. So many people throw their email in their bio now.
Well, not only that, but it's like if you go to, for instance, your town. So I'm going to just say, okay, I'm going to open up Instagram. So if you're listening to this and you're not driving, go to Instagram and then go to, okay, I'm just going to put my town, which is Kelowna, K-E-L-O-W-N-A, B-C, British Columbia. You're searching for you, and this could be tags. So let's look at tags. Okay, there's a hashtag Kelowna BC. And there's 394,000 posts. So what you're doing here is now you're going to filter based on recent top posts. Why am I doing this? Because these are people that you should be connecting with. Here's one thing too. I am so shocked at how many people don't leverage what I just taught as a way to grow their business. Mm-hmm. So when we first moved here a couple years ago, we arrived and we're like getting set up at the ski mountain, we're going skiing. We got a direct message from a woman named Allie. Allie is the owner of a company called Care Dental. So she has a dentist practice. She said, hey, if you guys are visiting and you ever need any dental care, please know that we're open 7 days a week from this time to this time and feel free to drop in. Okay, great. I mean, the last thing you think of when you're going on vacation is a dentist. But hey,
totally.
We moved here and guess what happened? My son needed braces.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're going to go to the person to reach out. I am so shocked at how many businesses local to my city have not reached out personally. There was maybe 2 or 3 that said, hey, Renee, you should come and check out our new lineup of white dresses for springtime. We just got a new line in. Like, that's what you can be doing on social. It's business development, it's sales, but it's also PR because it's kind of like this gray area. So open up Instagram. If you're not active on it, that's okay. If you have an account, great. You can just start searching for people that are using these hashtags that are local to you and saying things like, hey, Steph, I know that you're just visiting, or hey, I just see that you moved here. And if you're ever looking for a chiropractor, we'd love to have you come in and like offer you a free XYZ, or you can see the clinic.
Yeah.
And people just don't do that. Or they
do you once. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's like ego? Do you think it's fear of rejection?
Oh, there's fear. That's the fear of rejection. Yeah. A lot of people don't even think about this strategy. They think it's too pushy. I will tell you this. So the ones that are winning at this game are the ones that are doing this.
Totally. And they have no fear of rejection because it's like, if it's a no, it's one, a no right now. And two, it's also like there's 12 other people that I could reach out to. They're going to have a different response.
Yeah. And put it this way. If you're really good at what you do, which I'm hoping all your listeners are, you're actually doing people a disservice by not telling them about your services.
Yeah. And how you can help them and change their life.
Exactly. They're going to be in pain. They're going to have back pain, or they're going to have issues because you're not telling them that you're available to them. Because a lot of people, they think, okay, one thing we avoid going to see is a dentist 100% unless we lost a tooth or we know that we have an issue. Yeah. No one goes for just general cleaning. It's like the worst thing. But guess what? It's probably the best thing you can do for your mouth.
Yeah.
And actually your health. But so just having her reach out like that was a game changer for us because we're like, oh, we started following her. We're like, oh, we like this girl. And she's treated us like kings and queens every single time we step in to her clinic. It's been such a beautiful experience. So think about how you can do that for your practice, whatever practice it is. If you can spend, 30 minutes even a day, or get even your assistant when she's like clocking in or at lunch break to go in and just open up the account and just start messaging people.
That's what I was going to suggest as well. You know, sometimes, I know for me, like I'm booked from the time I step into the office till the time I leave with patients back to back. But it's like, okay, well, if I did have downtime, what could I be doing during that downtime? Maybe it's only 20, 30 minutes in between a patient. I could be doing some of this outreach on Instagram, right? Or if you are the clinic owner and you're super busy, but you have staff, it's like how much of your time each week is being built to do some of this outreach and this PR strategy? Probably not much. That's a perfect place to get started.
Yeah. And people don't have to have a perfect grid. They don't have to have all these fancy reels. Have a couple updated posts, have a couple stories, have people see the inside of your practice, and then just jump into the DMs.
Totally.
You'll win this way. And you, not only for getting customers, but it's also a great strategy to connect with podcast hosts and other media. It's the exact same thing.
Well, and I said on a previous episode, it was like, you want to be like the mayor. You want to be able to walk down the street, especially if you have a local brick and mortar. Online, it's a little different because your reach is so far. But if you own a local brick and mortar, like I can walk down the street in our local beach town and run into like five people that know who I am. That's the goal, right? You want to be recognizable. You want people to be like, oh, there she is. She helped my son with this, this, and that, and tell their friends and family about you. And so I already can sense that I probably have some listeners that are like, yeah, but I'm not at that level yet, or I'm just going to post on social. I don't have to worry about like this outreach. So why do you think it's important for local brick and mortars to really start to incorporate some PR outreach?
Yeah, because other methods are antiquated. You have to understand too, our demographics getting older. So I'm going to assume there's probably an average age for chiropractic owners, but the demographic is getting older, but at the same time, there's a new generation coming in. And Gen Z, let me tell you, that is a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And you eventually have to learn to start reaching out to these people. The number one thing when it comes to marketing that the Gen Z is looking for in brands is transparency and authenticity. So if you think about that, it's like, how can you be more transparent in your business? Well, people want to know who you are. They want to know what the back office looks like at your clinic and who's doing the work and who's the who at the front desk, so that when they walk into your clinic for the first time, they're like, oh my God, it's Jenny. I feel like you're famous because I've seen you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Find some creative, quirky ways to introduce your people. But regardless of you having started yesterday, already 10 years into your business, this is stuff you have to be doing. 100%. Even if you're too busy, right? Because the busyness is great. You want to get to the point where there's this threshold of being too busy. Now you have to hire the person to come in and replace you.
Totally. Yeah. And I love that you said that, like, show the back end, show the behind the scenes, show every single person on your team. And it's so funny because I remember, like, even starting my chiropractic journey, it was a bunch of old rich white dudes telling us how to build our practices. And it was like, don't show any personal side. Don't be friends with your patients on social media. All of this stuff. And I mean, as you can imagine, I didn't listen to any of it. But it's also like, how outdated is that? You know, like, people are buying from people they like, know, and trust. How can they like, know, and trust you if they don't know anything about you? So, you know, we follow each other on social media. Both of us share a lot about our families and our spouses and what our day-to-day looks like, because people also want to get to know you a little personally. And they're much more likely to be a long-term relationship with you, you know, like a long-term client, if they get to know you on a deeper level.
Totally. And it's all about the values too. Right. So you think about this Gen Z, even to the younger millennials, is they want that transparency and they want to know, like, are you a family man? Are you like, are you a mother? And like, what, how are you raising your kids? It's crazy how people want to know that stuff. But in the age of social media, it's almost like it's expected.
It's expected. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And like, I'm not saying you have to put your personal life out there. But if you are starting a business, the truth is that you have to create some level of a personal brand. Because have 100 million employees, right? Like, think about Amazon. Perfect example. Not everyone loves Jeff Bezos or Bezos, however you say his name. And people will actually not buy using Amazon because of him. They're like, oh, let's boycott him. Well, do you know how many people Amazon employs? Do you know how many entrepreneurs are making a living because they're selling on Amazon?
Yeah.
But Jeff is the face of the company. Mm-hmm. On some level, right? So like, he has a personal brand, whether he likes it or not. And if that's the case, you may as well make it a good one.
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny. We were traveling somewhere and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to like my local store. And I think it was just even Target. And then like a local store to get something. And they didn't have anything I needed. And I was like, I physically am trying to stop giving every single dollar I make to Amazon, but I physically can't because they just solve every problem. I know. Like, but that's the brand that they've also created. It's like, anything you need, it will be at your house in less than 2 days. It's like, it's really hard to argue with that business model.
It's so true. It is. And I get it. There's some people are like, oh, but Amazon takes such a big cut. And there's like, I get it. I totally understand. Now there's new tools out there, like the Shop app, which I think is beautiful. It allows you to like set up your shipping once. Like, that's the reason why people love Amazon, is because it's convenient. All of their information is already up there and they can pick whatever the hell, anything. You can literally buy anything on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's super convenient. But the point being is like, you're starting a practice or you're growing, no matter what, the de facto is that you have to create a personal brand. I'm not saying like get all these crazy photo shoots done, although they're fun. It's like, do something where people get to know you. Because like you said, people buy from those they know, like, and trust.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you think, since we're on the topic of social media, how do you think social media kind of plays into this like new client acquisition versus retention? So like getting new people to engage with you versus keeping the people that are already engaging with you.
Both, right? But they say it's cheaper to keep a customer. I'm going to go back to the example of Allie from Care Dental here in BC. Is now she's a friend. Mm-hmm. But she'll also, or her team will message me through the clinic's Instagram account being, hey, Renee, we noticed you and Max haven't had a cleaning yet. Can we book you in? Mm-hmm. So there's that engagement. But it's also like this reminder of how important your customers are to you, because you're engaging with them. So you got to keep your customers that are already there, but then you also have to start sourcing new ones. I was going to get to a point where you have so many, hopefully you don't have to source new ones all the time, but you got to keep the ones that you have happy.
It's totally
a great way of doing that.
And I think that's the goal. It's like, how much of your business is actually built on retention so that you get to choose the new people that you work with rather than absolutely dependent on every new person. I think that is a general rule. I mean, I'll speak for chiropractors since that's obviously my first career, is that there's this idea that if we get on TV, or like I have some clients that get approached because maybe they do live in a smaller town and the media wants to pick up a topic on pediatric chiropractic, for instance. And there's this fear, like, what if I get on there and make a fool of myself? Or what if I get on there and say the wrong thing? Or what if I get on there and botch it and they never invite me back? Do you have any little bit of advice for that fear that they have?
Well, first of all, everyone screws it up. I still screw it up. I mean, we're human. We care. Yeah. But like I said, the more you practice it, the more you get on podcasts and start talking about your story, the better you get at it. And there are companies that offer media training, if that's one thing. But yeah, really, it could just be like, talk like in your shower, or if you're driving alone, like talk to yourself. Talk through the stuff you know. And here's the thing, is like imposter syndrome really sets in these moments, because especially as doctors, is you know way more than other people, but it becomes so simple to you that you think other people know it, but they don't. Just like with PR, it's like, oh, it's easy. Just do this, this, and this. And people are like, no, but what do you mean? Like, make this easier for me. I don't know what you're talking about, Renee. So the reality is that we all know more than who we're actually teaching. And that's where sometimes that imposter syndrome comes in, because you're like, oh, this is so easy. Like, everyone already knows this stuff, but it's not true.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And I completely agree. I think the people I work with in particular think that like, oh, this is easy. Everybody knows this. I'm not going to have anything new to share. But it's like, it's one, your unique way of presenting the information, even if they've heard it before. And two, the likelihood of is that they probably don't know what it is you're talking about. And you're going to be able to shed some insight on that. Let's switch gears a little bit before we end here. And I would just love, because I know you have a unique entrepreneur journey, and I would just love for you to kind of tell us how you got into PR and where you've kind of transitioned and where you're headed, because I know you've had a lot of different things, becoming a mother and switching gears in career. And a lot of my listeners are women. And so how has that all unfolded for you?
Yeah. So it started when I was 17 with my sister. We started a restaurant because my mom told me to go get a job. And I thought that being an entrepreneur meant you didn't work a lot and you made a lot of money. So I couldn't figure out why most people weren't doing this. So after working 70, 80 hour weeks for 4 summers in a row, we learned that entrepreneurship wasn't that easy, but I was addicted to it because I felt so in control of essentially my destiny. And I traveled and I did university and post-grad and came back to live in Toronto and then started a communications company. This was when social media was really becoming a marketing component of some companies. And so I was hired by some big corporations to help them fully understand what that meant and what that looked like. And then I started working on some projects with a lady named Heather, who would eventually become my co-founder at an agency. We launched that agency when I was 8 months pregnant with my first son, Max, and then welcomed my second son, Noah, 11 months later. So in that same year of starting the agency, I had 2 babies. I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
it forced us to learn processes. It forced us to like do things efficiently and very productively. And then after about 7 years, I burnt out. We were in the process of due diligence with another agency to be acquired, and I just couldn't go through with it. It was going to be a 2 to 3 year earnout. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with the industry. I don't even want to have to work for somebody else to do the same work. So I closed up shop. And yes, there was some shame that came with that because I built an identity around being a successful agency owner in PR. I needed a break. I needed a break because I never had a mat leave. I never had, like, literally the moment my kids were born, I was back to work. The business needed me. My clients needed me. I needed to get paid. And then, so I took some time off, and it wasn't just this last year in December when I was at a Tony Robbins event and screaming at the top of my lungs at 2 a.m. on like day 3 that I decided, you know what, I'm going back into this. And this time I'm going solo and I'm doing things my way. No 50-50 partner, nothing, my way. At the time, I was helping my husband with his book launch, Buy Back Your Time. I know you just recorded an episode about it.
I did.
And, yeah, I listened and I just loved it. And I was getting some huge wins. So when people were asking Dan, how did you get on these shows? They're like, well, that was my wife, Renee. And so one thing led to another. And there was a bunch of people that were now hiring me to help them with their book launch and amongst other things. So now, come this year, I'm doing PR retainer work for longer-term clients, as well as my Authority Booster Intensive program, which teaches people how to do their own PR. But it's a custom strategy. We create all the pitches, the media kit, the press release. We create your 100 contact media list. We pull from our sources so that you are set up and ready to go to plug this into your current marketing initiatives. And it's something you can have a longer term play with. So why I created this program is I wanted to make it more accessible to entrepreneurs that couldn't afford like $30,000 to $50,000 retainers, right? $50,000 retainers. And we've done so many and it's been so much fun. So here I am, and there's a lot of little things in there that I missed, but that is really it in a very large nutshell.
I love that. And I love the idea too, that business can evolve, right? I know when I started my entrepreneur journey, it was like I had this very clear path that I was going to follow and it was going to go according to plan. But then life happens and what you want changes and the way that you want to do business changes. And so I just love that, even for the people listening, that even if you're in a profession that you love, but maybe you're not delivering the goods or services the way that you want to, it can always evolve. It can change with you as your life changes. And as you step into that next level, you know, I love that. And so one thing I like to ask all of my guests that join me, because we are the Wealthy Practitioner, what does wealthy mean to you?
Wealthy means the freedom to do whatever the hell you want to do, whenever the hell you want to do it.
I love that. I would say I'm very similar to that. It's like, give me all the freedom, time freedom, financial freedom, and let me do what I want when I want.
Yeah.
That's I love wealthy. That.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and we will see you next time, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.